We're dealing with some aspects of practical leadership. We are dealing at this point with principle number 17. The effective leader learns from his mistakes. One of the realities of leadership is that mistakes will be made. If you are leading, if you're planning, if you're aiming, if you're striving, if you're goal setting, if you're motivating, you will make mistakes. There's no way that a leader can accomplish and never make mistakes. So let's face it, you will make mistakes. You are not perfect. There will be times when wrong decisions will be made. The important thing is to learn from our mistakes. Danny Cox's book, Leadership When the Heat's On, his introductory story about Tiki. One day, Tiki wandered into Ori Halifee's blacksmith shop. Ori had just pulled a horseshoe out of the fire a few moments earlier, and it was lying on his anvil. It wasn't glowing, but it was close. Sure enough, Tiki reached down and picked up the horseshoe with his bare hand. Instantly realizing the error of his ways, Tiki let out a scream and threw it down. "Oh, did you burn yourself, Tiki?" Ori asked. No, Tiki shot back. "It just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe." Well, there's a lesson for all of us in Tiki's misadventure. He never picked up a horseshoe again, hot or cold, as far as anyone could remember. It was the eloquent management genius Peter F. Drucker who said, "A crisis must never be experienced a second time." As we explore the dynamics of leadership, it would be wise to remember Tiki. For one thing, he didn't realize that the horseshoe was hot. All too often, we find ourselves on the hot seat without a clue as to how we got there. There is not shame in discovering that we're sitting on a hot stove unless we've been there before. We should learn quickly and resolve not to repeat the behaviors that result in heated situations. I talk to business people all over the country who regularly find themselves picking up that same horseshoe over and over again. The secret to leadership when the heat's on is to develop a personal early warning system in addition to techniques for swift and skillful resolution of difficulties. I would even go so far as to say that the skillful and effective leader is the person who has a long and well-integrated memory. The point is that we should learn from our mistakes. The effective leader learns from his mistakes. Principle number 18. The effective leader learns to plan carefully what he will say in all situations. What a leader says is weighed carefully by those who follow. Improper or incorrect words can do much damage personally and institutionally. The leader must recognize and remember that as a leader, he represents the organization. His words are seen as official. You can probably even now think of certain governmental officials who have gotten into trouble because of statements they have made. Statement may have been very unofficial and even spoken in jest, but the newspaper headlines did not make that distinction. You can probably even now name certain individuals who have lost their positions because of something they said. How important it is for leaders to guard even the most casual of statements. It is difficult to correct what people have been told you said. The effective leader will know how to communicate properly. The people should always be given information. Keep the information flowing to them. Keep in mind six important items about this type of information sharing. Number one, the information should be timely. In other words, is this the right time to share this information? Would some other time be better? Number two, the information should be accurate. Accuracy produces stability and security. Number three, the information should be appropriate. In other words, it should actually be needed. We do not want to be answering questions that no one is asking. but we want to be providing that which is pertinent to the needs of the organization at this very moment. The information should be appropriate. Then number four, the information should be motivational. Within the words of the leader, there should be inspiration. There should be that which influences the members of the group to get involved in an active way. The essence of leadership is this kind of motivational influence. Here we find the effect one party, called the agent, has on another party, called the target. Studies have shown three motivational responses that can come in response to a leader's influence. First, there can be commitment. The target person internally agrees with the request and makes a great effort to fulfill what was requested. Secondly, there can be compliance. The target is willing to do what the agent asks, but is apathetic rather than enthusiastic about it. Here we find that behavior has been influenced, but not the attitude. And then there can be resistance. The target person is opposed to the request and actively tries to avoid carrying it out. They may make excuses. They may ask to be withdrawn. They may appeal to a higher authority. They may delay action and hope that the agent will forget about the request. They may even try to sabotage the task, or they may refuse to carry it out. Danny Cox, in his book, Leadership When the Heat's On, stated that there are actually three levels of motivation. The first level of motivation is compliance. This is doing something because you were told to do it. There's no trick to getting people to this first level. Simply order them around as if they can't think or reason for themselves and have no special ability or investment in getting the job done other than not being fired. They will comply. The second level of motivation is identification with the goal. This gives the individual some measure of investment in the goal and produces increased desire and motivation. To help people reach level two, you must include them in why the job needs to be done and how it is in their best interest to do it well. When there is something to gain, people invest more. So the first level of motivation is compliance. Second level of motivation is identification with the goal. The third level of motivation is internalization. At this level, the individual truly feels that the goal is his. To reach level three, a person needs to understand why he or she is uniquely suited for the task. Not only will he or she feel that there is benefit for a job well done, but more importantly, he or she brings part of himself to the job, to the task, to the responsibility. Keep in mind that motivation is the byproduct of desire. Desire and motivation cannot be separated. As the leader creates the desire within his people, they are motivated to accomplish the task. As the task is completed, they find satisfaction. There is a sweet feeling that comes with success. Coming back to the main point of our idea of giving information and making sure the information is correct, we said, number one, the information should be timely. Number two, the information should be accurate. Number three, the information should be appropriate. Number four, the information should be motivational. And we spent a little time discussing the matter of motivation. And number five, the information should be transparent. There should be no hidden agenda. Nothing should be covered up. Number six, the information should be convictional. This is important. This is vital. This is necessary. This is something that we must do. This is something that will truly benefit the organization. So the effective leader learns to plan carefully what he will say in all situations. Now, principle number 20. The wise leader will seek advice and counsel. The more strong leaders an organization has, the stronger the organization will become. If all decisions are made by the few for the many, the seeds of death and decay will grow within that organizational structure. Our own century has witnessed this truth. Shared decision-making understands that good ideas can and do come from the bottom up. Shared decision-making encourages thought, creativity, and experimentation. Shared decision-making helps to ensure the continued existence and effectiveness of the organization, for it does not all rest on one man. The organizational leaders may come and go, but if shared leadership has been the policy, then the effectiveness of the organization will continue. Ask your people to join you in solving problems, or ask them for creative ideas, or delegate more than just routine jobs to them. Hold a meeting with employees and ask them what really bugs them about the organization. Ask them what gets in the way of doing the best job possible. Listen with interest to what they have to say. Accept their counsel. The wise leader will seek advice and counsel. Principle number 21. An effective leader is an evaluator of plans, ideas, and personnel. To evaluate is to judge the worth or the value. Good leadership is always seeking to find good ideas that will accomplish the task in a more effective or efficient way. The leader will soon discover that not all ideas are good, and he will also learn that what he first considered to be a bad idea upon further reflection just could be a good idea. An effective leader is an evaluator of plans, ideas, and personnel. Principle 22. The wise leader is an individual of decision-making and action. The effective leader knows that there is a time to listen and to evaluate, but there's also the time for action. The leader, after due consideration, must take action. Inaction will bring the followers to the point of mistrust. Does he know what he's doing? Will be their question. The administrative leader will keep the following steps of decision-making and action in mind. Number one, recognize that there are bad decisions. Understand at the very beginning that you're not always going to call it right every time. Hans Finzel, in his book, The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make, wrote this: I believe in the 80-20 rule of success. 80% of the time I'll make right decisions, and 20% of the time I will make mistakes, or not do it as good as it could have been done. So recognize that there are bad decisions. Number two, define the problem. Here are some steps that one might take in this aspect of decision making. First of all, look for causes rather than symptoms. The leader must assume that all behavior is motivational. Sometimes the motivation may be internal. Sometimes it may be external, caused by friction from other people in the organization, difficulties and discomforts at home, or some physical problem of which a particular worker may be unaware. The whole process of counseling may enter the decision-making situation at this time. So look for causes rather than symptoms. And then as you define the problem, the second thing you want to do is isolate the sections of the problem through deductive reasoning. Deductive reasoning, of course, proceeds from the general to the specific. The third thing you want to do in defining the problem is open-mindedly weigh all of the evidence. It is naive to assume that all of the evidence which presents itself in response to any given problem is accurate in relation to fact. Every evidence provided by superiors must be weighed by the leader as he considers the identification of real problems. So define the problem. And we mentioned three things there that you'd want to do in defining the problem. The third thing that you're going to do or keep in mind in this decision-making process: listen before answering. Gather all the facts. Listen, even if it is something with which you disagree, still it is vital that you listen. Number four, offer suggestions through brainstorming. Many minds applied to a problem will see more facets to that problem. Then number five, narrow the solutions offered through brainstorming. Here you will seek to answer such questions as, will it work? Will it be acceptable? Is cost a prohibiting factor? Is this solution permanent or merely a stopgap action? Can we really implement this solution? What new problems will this solution create, and can we handle these new problems? A sixth thing to keep in mind in this whole decision-making process, make the decision. Now is the time to put your solution into action. This means applying as much of the solution to the problem as you possibly can. And then number seven, evaluate the decision. Get feedback to be sure that this was the right decision. Did the problem disappear? If not, was the failure due to the decision itself or to some fault in the implementation of the decision? At what point did the flaw enter the application process? So just seven different things to remember in decision-making. The wise leader is an individual of decision-making and action. Principle 23. The effective leader can control his temper. Anger released in an inappropriate way can and does destroy. Notice the word inappropriate. The tension of anger must be released, but only in appropriate ways. This brings us to the end of number 4.